you ready to head down the path to an amazing retirement? We're tackling the topics on the mind of the modern retiree here on Retirement Starts Today Radio. And now, your host, Benjamin Brandt.
Hello and welcome back to Retirement Starts Today Radio. We asked, you answered, and we listened. We asked you in our 2019 listener survey, what is the number one thing that you're most excited about in retirement? We gave you a couple different options. We said sitting around and doing absolutely nothing. We said time for hobbies. We said time with kids and grandkids. And those are all popular options. But by far and away, the number one thing that most of you said that you're the most excited for is time for traveling. Which makes sense, right? We're sitting in our cubicle and we're fastidiously squirreling away money for our retirement, and we're thinking about, when I'm done with this, I'm going to. And so often that becomes traveling. Now, traveling could mean spending a week in a neighboring state. It could mean spending a month in a warmer climate, or it could mean moving somewhere permanently. And that's something I don't know a whole lot about, but fortunately I do know experts that know a lot about those sorts of things. And that's who we're talking to today. We're talking to David Jacoby. You can learn more from David at remotefinancialplanner.com. In the interview, we talk about what his expertise is, but suffice it to say that he is an expert in all things that involve living abroad. Even if you don't specifically know where you want to end up, if you just know the hemisphere where you might want to explore, David will be able to talk us through the different tax and health insurance and other implications of either a long-term stay or a permanent move. So let's learn all about living abroad or traveling abroad. Without further ado, this is our interview with David Jacoby. All right, David Jacoby, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
David, you've got a very unique and interesting financial planning practice. As I shared in the beginning of the show, our audience is very, very interested in traveling. It's the number one thing that they listed as being excited for in retirement. Your practice is very, very unique in that way. Share with us a little bit about what you help your clients do.
I have also always had a big passion for traveling and living abroad, and have lived in really four different countries and spent a lot of my time while building my business living outside the U.S. And so that naturally drew me to working with other expats or people who love to travel, because I really understood the unique aspects of their financial life that are just a little bit more difficult because they're dealing with multiple tax jurisdictions or two sets of finances, really.
And in the pre-interview, we talked a little bit about you work with three primary types of people that are wanting to navigate this idea of retiring abroad. Could you share with me kind of what those three look like?
So one of the groups that I work with, I would really call digital nomads or globetrotters. So they are people who usually work remotely, or they might be entrepreneurs. And so they are able to travel around and work from whatever location they may be in. Besides the fact that this allows them to see the world and kind of meet that itch that they may have for traveling, it also has a lot of financial and tax benefits. They may qualify for the foreign earned income exclusion, so they can dramatically reduce the amount of U.S. taxes they're paying. Their lifestyle might be in a way where they're really living out of two suitcases, so they're not allowed or able to spend a lot of money on Amazon or purchasing things and acquiring things. So it puts them in a unique position to either pay down a lot of debt or save for future goals. So that's one main group of people that I work with. Another one is a group that wants to retire abroad. So they may have spent most of their career, most of their life in the U.S., and either for financial or social reasons, or just because it may be their dream, they want to retire and move abroad shortly after they stop working. And so with this group of people, we may talk a lot about finding the right country for them to move to and getting their finances organized so that they're still very easy to manage and access when they're outside of the country. And also just doing kind of a unique retirement analysis where we might be bringing in two sets of taxes or different things like that. And the third group of people that I work with mostly is a very domestic group of individuals, and a very normal case from that perspective. but they may not be ready to retire abroad now, but it's something that they want to do. And so they're currently doing a lot of travel and maybe scoping out locations, but they know one day that that is their dream, that they would like to be abroad.
A lot of people mentioned that they're very much looking forward to traveling. Traveling and living abroad, I think, are probably two different things. When you sit down with someone that is, let's say, 58 years old, and they say that they want to travel extensively in retirement and are examining the possibility of living abroad, how do you sort of separate those two issues? At what point does traveling extensively become living abroad? Is that, I assume we have to make special arrangements, you know, financially, if we're living off of our investments to do such a thing. How do you walk a financial planning client through some of those decisions?
Yeah, it's certainly a bit of a continuum, because some people might just really keep a lot of their house and everything that they have stateside and just spend long periods of time outside the country. And that's kind of unique in that it actually drives your expenses up. So if you're maintaining your mortgage or continue paying rent, and then you're also paying for a few weeks or potentially months abroad, it's really looked at, from my opinion, as travel, because it's going to be an extra expense. And when somebody is actually looking at reducing the amount of assets they have in the US and selling their house or putting it up for rent or taking those kinds of major steps, then it's much more of, okay, we need to prepare you to be an expat instead of just doing some travel hacking and making sure your finances are accessible abroad. And some people might be kind of in the middle of those two, where they think they want to live abroad. And so we start them out. We don't do anything dramatic. We don't sell the house. We don't make any major changes, but we might rent an Airbnb for 3 months in a country and see if they like it and how it feels.
I see. So you can kind of dip your toe into some of these areas and then find out, okay, I do like it a lot more than I thought I would. I want to live there, or this isn't what I expected. I'm glad I didn't sever ties, completely sell my house, or whatever other extreme measure that would be. You're able to test the waters a bit.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to test the waters, because you can think of a place very romantically and think that you'll love living there, unless you really go and you walk to the grocery store or catch the bus or take public transportation or, you know, whatever your life would be. You try and make friends, those types of things that don't really happen on a vacation, but would happen if you're in the same spot for a month or 3 months. I usually advocate for people to visit where they want to go 2 to 3 times, absolutely, before they, say, pack up all of their stuff and ship it in a container across the ocean to their new home.
Well, that is pretty dramatic. That goes right along with our lesson of, if people are buying a second home in retirement, we always recommend that they rent for 6 months to a year before they buy, because every town has a right and a wrong side of the tracks. And some towns are very seasonal and some towns aren't. And some towns are very recreational and aren't. And so you kind of want to figure out, before you make a permanent decision with hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line, you want to test that out first. Because, I mean, nobody likes to rent because, you know, you're kind of losing that money. But undoing a real estate transaction is always going to be far and away more expensive than, quote unquote, wasting 3 months at a VRBO or Airbnb or whatever.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Trying places just in different seasons, you might get a whole different taste for what it's like to live there.
And especially, I think it seems the more attractive a place is for, like, leisure, recreation, you know, retirement, seasonal things, the more dramatic those swings could be in the off season. We only experience things when they're the most positive, especially as vacationers. There could be a whole 6 months of the year where it's not anything too close to what you expected, because you wouldn't experience that in the off season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Might be monsoon season the other 6 months of the year.
Right. I guess it doesn't really occur to you that, wow, everything is so green here. Well, that's because it just stopped raining for 4 months. So in the pre-interview, David, we talked about, you might be able to work with clients that have an idea that they want to live abroad, but they haven't really narrowed it down specifically, where I want to live in Central America, or I want to live somewhere tropical, or I want to live in Europe. And you're able to help clients narrow down specifically what country they might want to live in, depending upon health insurance things or tax things. Or could you share with us a little bit about what are the determining factors are between a country in Europe versus another country in Europe, or a country in South America versus a different one? What are some of those factors that might, if someone has a general geography of where they might want to live, what are some factors that could help them pick Portugal over Panama or something like that?
The two biggest and ones that I usually broach with clients first is visas and taxes. So if you're going to Europe, it's very easy to live in a few countries and much harder to live in some of the other ones. Portugal, Spain, Italy, some of the ones towards the bottom of the continent have very easy visas for Americans, where basically you just need to show I have X numbers of dollars in my bank account, or I have a social security check that is consistent and X amount of dollars every month. Other than that, you might be able to meet those requirements. While some of the countries in the Nordic region will have much more stringent requirements. And so just in the ease of being able to go there, that can be a huge factor. They can get you in the right continent and make your life a lot easier on transitioning over there from a paperwork standpoint. You can also look at that from the tax perspective. So Portugal has a very unique program where they will actually give you a 10-year pass on paying taxes in Portugal on any foreign pension and retirement income. So you're able to go there and have a much different tax perspective by not having to pay taxes in Portugal for that first 10 years than you would if you went to, say, France, where they don't need to have any sort of special visa and tax program like that to attract retirees because they've already got such high demand.
So depending on the country, you might have to show them, you know, here's my investments, here's what I'm expecting for monthly income, here's my pension, here's my Social Security. You might have to show them that I'm not going to be a burden on your system. I'm self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect summary of it because they just don't want you to come and be a burden on their system. And so if you've got that wealth or income coming in, they're more than happy to welcome you into their economy.
Okay. So I'm living in Portugal. I've lived there for 2 years. I've got 8 years left on my sort of tax-free status. Got a house. I've got, you know, Portugal driver's license or whatever their version of that is, and taking money out of my Fidelity account every month, and I'm spending my Social Security check every month. I'm not paying taxes in Portugal. Am I still paying taxes in the U.S.?
Yes. As an American citizen, there's really no way to ever get around paying taxes in the U.S. There is that foreign earned income exclusion that I mentioned, but that is for earned income. So it needs to be wages or self-employment. Distributions from a retirement account, Social Security, things like that do not qualify for that foreign earned income exclusion. So basically, if you move to a country with a lower or no tax rate, you'll pay just to the U.S. If you move to a country that has a higher tax rate to the U.S., you would just pay the higher tax rate. There's protections against you ever being double taxed, but if you do move to a higher tax location, you will pay the higher of the two rates, basically.
Fascinating. Now, walk me through some of the end of life brainstorms that you've had with clients. When we think about living abroad or moving abroad, we think about our maybe late 50s, our 60s, maybe our early 70s, and we're on the beach and we're, you know, shucking clams and we're deep sea diving and we're doing all those fun things. Do people assume that they're going to become very old and die in those countries? Are they assuming that they'll move back to the States at some point? What are some of those conversations you've had?
It's definitely a mix of the two. There's some people who really just want to be abroad for some period, and then they want to be back and closer to their family for those final years. And there's other ones, and usually these are the ones that maybe had a career abroad or might have a dual citizenship. And they really are just packing it up and moving out of the U.S. for the rest of their life. They'll move to that other country and start working on the requirements for permanent residency so that they won't run the risk of their visa running out and having to leave and things like that. One important conversation I always have with people is just you may have to engage in an estate planning attorney in both countries. So if you have assets and you're acquiring a house and it's in a foreign country, it's not going to be covered by your U.S. estate plan. So you really need to be talking with an attorney there, find out, even if you're allowed to use any sort of will or anything to decide how the assets will be passed. You know, some countries, France and in the Middle East, they may just have their own set of laws that decide, okay, if you pass away, this second home or main home that you bought has to go to these people because that's the law here. And we don't really care that you wrote an estate plan in the U.S.
Interesting. I suppose there's a difference between whether or not you become a permanent resident or maintain your U.S. citizenship. But, you know, for those that are over 65, how, and I'm sure there's a lot of nuance, but depending on which country you choose, but how does your health insurance work? Do you keep Medicare in your supplement or your Medicare Advantage, and those programs work in Spain, let's say, or any country, or do you use their health insurance if they have a nationalized system or something like that? How do those decisions get made?
So Medicare does not work at all outside of the U.S. You really are going to have to rely on either the local system or paying for private health insurance. A lot of times, depending on the country, you may have a base coverage by being a resident, and so you're using the national system. But then for other things, you have hired another insurance company to cover you for certain things. All of that really just depends on the country. You know, if you retire to Mexico or a lot of countries in South America, you may actually be fine without any health insurance. That may sound crazy, but there's just a lot of opportunities for living in a city with Western, a lot of times American trained doctors that are originally from that country, came to the U.S. for their education, went back to their home country, and now they work there. And you can just get procedures done for, say, a tenth of the cost of what it would cost in the U.S. And so it, for certain people, you may not even really have to have the insurance depending on what country you're in. So that's a big conversation that really depends on where you're choosing to live. But to go back to your question, if you are somebody who is just going to go abroad for a short period, say 5 or 10 years, it may make sense for you to actually still enroll in Medicare and pay the premiums, because if you do not enroll on time, as you probably already know, there's a penalty. And so you may be better off enrolling in Medicare, paying for it, even though it's not going to cover you outside the U.S. And it's just because you plan on coming back to the country and don't want to be overly penalized for signing up late.
I see. So knowing that you won't use Medicare for several years and paying for it anyway, versus the idea that you're probably going to come back to Medicare at some point in the future and you don't want to pay those penalties for delaying, which can add up.
Exactly right.
I see. So what are we forgetting? You know, we're approaching retirement. We're very excited to go move to Albania for 10 years. What's the most common thing that people neglect to plan for?
A lot of things that people just neglect to plan for is they don't start the planning until they've already moved. There's a lot of countries where there may be some sort of treaty benefit or election that needs to be made either on your accounts beforehand or shortly after retiring there. Canada is a great example where, to protect the tax deferral nature of your IRAs, you actually need to make an election shortly after arriving in the country and continue to make it annually on your Canadian tax return. So people can get themselves in trouble where they get excited, they retire, and they go ahead and already move to the other country. And then they're kind of out of luck with maybe making some elections or treaty benefits or changes to their accounts, or things are just harder because they're no longer in the U.S. and able to access things like they would be able to. So that's the biggest mistake I see a lot of people make. A big question that a lot of people have is if they'll still be able to receive their Social Security. And, you know, that's no problem. You can absolutely continue to receive your Social Security. Normally, I recommend people just keep their U.S. bank account open and let their Social Security checks be paid into that. But if you wanted to, you can also have it paid into a foreign bank account, as long as the U.S. has a relationship with that country. And most of them, we do for Social Security payments.
Well, David, that's a fantastic discussion. Sure appreciate your time today. I had a lot of questions about this area, and I have a lot more, but we're kind of approaching the end of our episode length. If our audience wants to learn more about what you can do, where can they learn more about you?
Yeah, the best way to find me is really just visiting my website. So my website is remotefinancialplanner.com. And you can schedule an initial call with me there or just read more about the services that I offer. This is my real specialty, is helping people with cross-border and retiring abroad and all the complexities that come with being an expat. And, you know, if you're interested in moving abroad or long-term travel, I'd love to help you out.
And if you're doing some of that do-it-yourself due diligence, you're going to want to check out remotefinancialplanner.com. And he's got a blog associated with that website. And that's one of the ways we connected here and crafted some of our questions, is by checking out those blog posts ahead of time. So the one that I specifically was reading today was 4 ways moving abroad can radically improve your finances. So you're going to want to check that one out if this is something that appeals to you. David, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a wonderful time.
All right. Thanks so much, David, for your expertise in that issue. If you want to learn more, that was David Jacoby. You can learn more from remotefinancialplanner.com. He publishes blog posts on a semi-regular basis. And if you're interested in living abroad or traveling abroad for long periods of time and the different implications to your retirement, even if it's something as dramatic as renouncing your citizenship, you can learn more on that blog, remotefinancialplanner.com. So thank you so much to our guest, David Jacoby. I learned a lot and I hope you did too. So until next time, remember that planning your amazing retirement starts today at retirementstartstoday.com. You can tell me where your heart is. Oh, tell me where your heart is. Tell me where your heart is. Where your heart is. But don't say nothing. You should consult a financial advisor familiar with the specific circumstances of your unique financial situation before making any financial decisions. Nothing in this broadcast constitutes a solicitation for the sale or purchase of any securities. Any mentioned rates of return are historical or hypothetical in nature and are not a guarantee of future returns. Benjamin Brandt, CFP, is an investment advisor representative of Capital City Wealth Management, a North Dakota registered investment advisor.